Hello. Shalom. My name is Nachum Manuzel, and this podcast is What Does Judaism Say About? Throughout the ages, there have always been individuals who have used the movements of the stars and the planets as a guide for their behavior. Even in this age of scientific discovery, more and more prominent people admit to believing in astrology and confess to using astrological predictions when making personal decisions. We know that scientifically, what happens out there sometimes have direct effect on the Earth. This is true regarding the moon's control of the tides. The 11-year cycle of sunspots affects the upper layer of the Earth's atmosphere, which impacts the Earth's weather greatly. Energy particles block radio communications. Thus, how far-fetched is it to think that other objects in the universe have some effect as well? So it should be asked, is there any legitimacy to astrology? Does Judaism reject or support belief in the validity of astrology? Can one be a believing Jew and also believe in the concept of astrology? As is often the case, the Talmud offers much conflicting evidence regarding these questions. Many sources seem to support the validity of astrology, while other sources seem to reject its soundness. These Talmudic sources will be presented and analyzed, and with the aid of later authorities, maybe a unified Jewish approach will hopefully evolve. The primary source supporting the concept of astrology comes from a passage in the Tractate Shabbat, where it says that there is a star which causes some people to be wise, another star which causes some people to become wealthy, etc., etc. It further states that the timing of one's birth, the day of the week, not the month or the date, determines one's personality. Rav Chanina adds that the hour of the day in which the birth occurred predicts the future of this infant. Then there is a debate on the same Talmudic page whether there exists a mazal, a planetary influence, for the Jewish people as a whole. While most opinions say that there is no influence, they bring as a proof the story of Abraham who came to God and said, "My astrological indicators say that I will not have a child," after God had promised Abraham a child. God then changed the astrology, says the Talmud, the placement of the planets, so that Isaac would be born to Abraham. Thus, there is no planetary influence upon the Jewish people today. However, from this story, the phrase "there is no planetary influence for the Jewish people" indicates that there was at one time an influence, but that God changed it. From this answer, it is not clear at all whether the planetary influences exist or don't exist. Later on that same Talmudic page, Rabbi Akiva, who had stated his opinion that there's no planetary influence on the Jewish people, was told by a non-Jewish astrologer, a Chaldean, that his daughter was in grave danger of being bitten by a snake. Rabbi Akiva then was very worried, says the Talmud, and then did something that would kill the snake. Later, it turns out that Rabbi Akiva's daughter had performed an act of charity, and that Rabbi Akiva proclaims that it was the act of charity that had saved her from death. This source, once again, is very enigmatic. Rabbi Akiva, who says there is no planetary influence for Jews, heeds the advice of the astrologers as truth. And then it turns out that the astrologer's prediction did not come true at all. What is the intention of this passage? Based on the Talmud's use of the word mazal in this source, the commonly used term mazel tov does not mean congratulations, but rather you have been blessed with a good planetary sign, indicating that normative Judaism does indeed believe that the stars have some influence. The millions and millions of Jews who use this expression often, and even non-Jews, are surely not all believers in astrology, even though that is exactly what they are saying. Mazal tov. You have a good planet or star that made this happen. Nor are they aware of the literal meaning of this phrase. Other sources also indicate the power of astrological influence. Another Talmudic passage says that the lifespan, the children, and food of a person are all determined by planetary forces and not by man himself. Still another Talmudic quotation says that God changed the astrological charts and moved things around in the planets and stars, so that the flood at the time of Noah could come on a day which usually does not allow for a lot of rain. The Midrash discusses the various planetary alignments before and after Adam's sin. The Talmud also records that there is a specific day of the week, Tuesday, when a Jew should move in and move out of his or her house. And yet, various other Talmudic sources negate the validity of this entire approach. The Torah itself clearly forbids consulting with mediums and wizards. A few verses before this verse, it says in the Torah, Lo ta'onenu. In the Talmud, there is a three-way disagreement what this prohibition specifically forbids. Rabbi Akiva says, this forbids predicting the future, i.e., consulting an astrologer who says that on this day, you should do this particular action. But can this be the same Rabbi Akiva who acted on the advice of an astrologer, a Chaldean, who predicted about his daughter? In another passage, it clearly says that a Jew may not consult an astrologer. How can all these apparent multiple contradictions be resolved to possibly emerge with a unified Jewish approach? The beginning of a resolution to our questions can be found in the Gaonic period around the 1000s. These rabbis say that one may not view astrology as fatalistic. While it is true that astrology does give a person an inclination, each person can overcome that basic predisposition. Thus, the guiding phrase for Jews is, all is in the hands of God except the fear of God. There is determination in that God controls all things, except for man's moral choices, which are many every single day of our lives. Thus, although a man is born with a certain proclivity, he can choose or she can choose to overcome these tendencies. Just as a person is born with specific DNA which dictate the ingrained tendencies of every human being, we know that the tendencies and proclivities can be overcome. Nachmanides Ramban, who lived several hundred years after the Gaonim, tries to resolve the contradictions in the Talmud by saying that while a Jew may not ask an astrologer for a forecast of the future, a pattern for prediction does indeed exist. Based on the verse commanding man to be complete with God, and used in the Talmud quoted previously to prove one should not consult astrologers, Nachmanides stresses that the Jew must believe that everything in life comes exclusively from God, and from him alone can we ask about future events. He stresses, however, that this pattern laid out by God for each individual can indeed be altered through individual merit, individual deeds, and individual prayer. Thus, Rabbi Akiva's contradiction is apparently resolved. He stated that we may not ask an astrologer for information and predictions. However, when he was told the information without asking, he was indeed worried, as there is some validity to astrology. The act of charity by his daughter, which changed the fate predicted for her, did indeed save her life. On the other hand, Maimonides Rambam disagrees completely with the approaches of Nachmanides Ramban and before him the Gaonim. Rejecting the validity of astrology altogether, Maimonides writes that the planets are mere agents of God for reward and punishment for actions chosen by the free will of man, but they do not contain any unique power on their own. Anyone who believes this, says Maimonides, is an ignoramus and a fool. Therefore, anyone who asks the advice of an astrologer is punishable. Rabbi Joseph Caro, author of Code of Jewish Law, in his Beit Yosef commentary before writing the Code, quotes both Nachmanides and Maimonides. Then he concludes that if a Jew hears an evil prediction, he or she should pray that it be annulled. However, he also mentions that a Jew may not seek out such a prediction. This basically follows the path of Nachmanides, giving some validity to astrology. In the Shulchan Aruch itself, the Code of Jewish Law, Rabbi Caro codifies the final ruling regarding astrology. He simply says that one may not consult astrologers, which is a point of agreement between both the approach of Nachmanides and Maimonides. However, in the very next halakha, Jewish law, Shulchan Aruch writes that it is customary not to begin work, a new job, on Mondays or Wednesdays, and that one should marry only when there is a full moon. Rama, the Ashkenazi counterbalance to the Sephardic Rabbi Caro, adds in the Code of Jewish Law that the period of Torah study should begin on Rosh Chodesh, the beginning of the Jewish month, something that is practiced in Israel by every yeshiva until today. These statements indicate that Shulchan Aruch rejected the notion of Maimonides, that there is no validity at all to astrology. And he supports that of Nachmanides, who says that one may not consult an astrologer, yet there is some validity to astrology, and therefore one may adopt certain practices based on planetary influence. Consequently, it seems that most of the authorities believe that astrology has some sort of power. But there is a very fine line between believing in this idea and believing in another power than God, which is not the Jewish view clearly. Thus, any traditional Jew cannot give any credence to any power in the world except God, nor use astrology on a regular basis to guide his or her life. Thank you for listening and giving of your time. If you would like to respond or react to any of the points discussed, feel free to write on the Facebook page or more privately by email. Please subscribe to this weekly podcast so that you will not miss even one topic. Thank you.